Morning, people. Morning, Bray. Just for you who don't know me, my name is Jason O'Sullivan, and I'm from Clondalkin. I'm from Liberty. I'm from the House of Liberty. I'm not from Liberty Clondalkin or Liberty Bray or Liberty Fingers or Liberty City. I'm from Liberty. We're one church, many occasions, yeah? Just to give you a little bit of background on me, I 3 years ago, I went into a recovery center. I was broken. I was in addiction and crime for 25 years. I was addicted to heroin and crack cocaine, and God delivered me from my drug addiction and my lifestyle of crime. That's just a brief background of what I was like previous to becoming obedient to God the best way I could. And today we're talking about radical obedience. And, you know, this series that we've been doing, Radical, it's been very challenging. But this one, Radical Obedience, I believe has been the most challenging to me because, you know, there's many ways we can be obedient to God. But today I'm going to talk about being obedient to his voice and his word. And, you know, over the months and weeks, and I've been talking to people, people seem to think that God's word is a book of rules and regulations, and you have to do this and do that and do this and do that. But, you know, it's not. It's a book of guidelines. It's a book that God has put in place to protect you because he loves you. He puts these boundaries in place and asks you to live by these boundaries in order to keep you right. And, you know, there's a little saying here. It says, one word stands out from all others as the key to knowing God, to having his peace and assurance in your life. It's obedience. And when you're obedient to his word, you're blessed out of that. You know, when I got saved, when I got saved, I remember the Lord saying to me, just follow me. Just follow me, do what I tell you. And since then, I've tried my best in order for to seek God and do everything he has asked me to do. And honestly, I have been totally blessed out of that from being obedient to his word. You know, I was in addiction. I was involved in crime. And my lifestyle was totally the opposite of what the Bible talks about. And when I come to know the knowledge of Jesus, it just tore my life upside down. But when I started doing what Jesus asked me to do, you know, people seem to think that, oh, if I have to do this and I do that, it's a mundane task. But in doing what Jesus asks you to do, it brings joy, it brings freedom, it brings protection on your life, it brings provision, it brings healing, it brings all sorts of things. You know, Joshua 1:8 says this, keep this book of instruction carefully, meditate in it day and night, be sure to obey everything that is written in it. Only then will you succeed and prosper in everything you do. So Jesus, like the word of God is telling us that if we obey his word, that we prosper and we succeed in everything we do. You know, Jesus, there's all sorts of ways Jesus teaches us through his word. And I was reminded of the woman committed in adultery. Jesus came along and, you know, the Pharisees, the scribes, everybody that was there, under Mosaic law, she was to be stoned to death. But Jesus came along and he said, let he without sin cast the first stone. What was he doing? He was teaching people. Second of all, he said to the woman, he said, go and sin no more. Why did he say to her, go and sin no more? He says that because, for one, that it would cause her great pain and great problems when she done this sort of stuff. And second of all, he didn't want anything to become between him and her in his relationship. See, this is what it's all about. Jesus gave us these, not rules, I don't like using that word, it's a horrible word, rules. Jesus gave us these guidelines and these boundaries in order for it to keep us in a close relationship with him and bring protection on our life. You know, was involved in drugs and crime, but I ended up, I done 12 months in a rehabilitation center, and the day after I graduated, I got sent to prison for something I'd done before I became a Christian. And I remember being in there, and You know, a lot of my mates will be doing big sentences. Some of them will be doing life in prison. Some of them 15, 10, all that down. Big sentences for horrific crimes and for doing all sorts of stuff. You know, but when I was in there, I remember every day I would read my Bible. It was the word of God that kept me. Noel asked me, Noel used to come up and see me, and Adele, they were up every week. And you said to me, what's keeping you? I'd say, God's word is keeping me, because it was giving me boundaries. It was keeping me a lion. It was giving me protection. It was giving me joy. I used to come out of my cell in the morning. I'd be coming down for my breakfast, and people would be saying, what's up with him? You know, I'd be singing coming down the stairs, going down to get me breakfast. I had joy in my heart because God's word was giving me joy. Them boundaries that was put in place. Like, in there, I remember the Lord saying certain things to me. I got out of certain situations where tragic things happened in prison because I listened to his voice. I was obedient to his voice. So today, I'm just here letting you know that God's word is something to be cherished, and it's something to be taken hold of, because it brings joy, it brings freedom, it brings healing, it brings reconciliation, it brings all sorts of things, and it brings salvation, it brings all sorts of things in your life. You know, I'm getting stuck for words here because I'm thinking about, as I said, when I was in prison, I stood and I was obedient to God's word, and I listened to his voice, and I done what he asked me to do. And so much so that, because of what I'm trying to get at here is obedience brings blessing. So much so that I was given in total a 23-month sentence. Because I was obedient to God's word in there, and I done what he asked me to do in there. And believe me, I could have done things in there that would have made life easier, but I didn't. I stuck with God's word, and I listened to him, and I done what he asked me to do. I remember I was only in there 3 months out of 23 months, and God gave me a scripture, and he said, Jay, I'm going to open doors no man can shut. The next day, I was on a treadmill in the gym, and a prison officer came and says, Jay, you're going home. Why was that? Because I was obedient to him, it brought blessing. It opens doors. The word of God opens doors. It opens all sorts of things. As I say, it brings joy and freedom. So, you know, what I will say to you today is that don't take God's word as being something of a mundane task. Take God's word as something that he has given you, an instruction for your life, an instruction for to keep you safe, an instruction for to give you provision in your life. It brings healing, it brings joy, it brings reconciliation. Like, it's a guideline for life. Every day, if I'm not sure of something in my life, I will go to the word of God and see what God says about it. He'll give you the answer. There's an answer for everything in your life in that book. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's great to be here, seeing some new faces. My name is Noel. It's great to have Davina and Daniel, little baby Daniel. He's gone out with his daddy. So I'm sure we'll all get to see him, and it's amazing. They come in a little basket, and before you know it, they're running around up here. It's a great joy, isn't it? You just, look, they're just sitting there, like, you know, just needing, and then before you know it, and it's great. Welcome back. And it's great to have the baby here with us. And I'm sure, you know, remember years ago, I don't know whether you've done this in your community, but you'd show people the baby and you'd always give the baby money. Does anyone remember that? Okay, we're gonna you're free to do that for baby Daniel. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what we heard this morning. Lord, just thank you for your peace, Lord, and for your joy and your hope, Lord God. And Lord, even as Jason said, for the freedom, Father, in many ways inside of us, Lord, and even in his case, Father, opening prison cell doors, for him to come out, Lord, and to live for you, Lord. And we bless you and we thank you, Father, for what you've done in Jay's life and Adele's life, Lord, and what you're doing and what you're doing through them, Lord God. And we're just so thrilled, oh God, to see you at work in our lives, Lord, and through this place, Lord, and through, Lord, the Tribe of Liberty, Lord, and every individual, Lord God. Father, we're blessed people. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just to fill you in on, I loved when Jason said that, like, I'm from Liberty, or I'm not from Liberty Bray or Clondalkin or Finglas or City, that we're one church, and whatever. You know, it's like a tremendous opportunity. The Bible says that, if someone's weeping, weep with them. If someone's joyful, be joyful with them. And it's a great opportunity to celebrate and to do all the, and to hear the things that's going on in our communities. And even the gathering. Last week I was told there was two people that gave their lives to the Lord out here in Bray. And we celebrate them things. We celebrate them in the city. We celebrate them in Finglas. And because it's us. And just one, last week in Finglas, we started a breakfast cafe in a school called St. Joseph's. We've been welcomed in by the principal, a beautiful woman, absolutely tremendous heart for the kids in our school. And the girls' school across the way, they had one, a breakfast that was being funded by the government and whatever, and there was no funding for the boys. So we says, we'll do it. Liberty will do it. You will do it. So I signed you all up. You're out there every month. No. And so last Monday was our first Monday out there, and we met. We have 40 boys coming. And just getting to know 40 new names is a thrill and a treat and a task and a challenge, especially from my memory. But being out there and seeing them coming in, just loving them. Just, why are you doing this? Why would you come in here to do this? Because the first thing they ask you, who pays you? And it's, I tell you, I would love us all to be paid to work for the Lord. But it's great to be able to say, we're here because we love you. We're here because we care. We're here because we've seen the need and we're able to meet that need. And come Friday, so we were there Monday, Thursday, Friday. That's the pilot project that we have going on in that school. And Friday, the teacher says to Joanne, who was heading her up, she said that there's a calmness in our schoolyard since you came in here. Now, that's not me saying that. That's not Joanne saying that, because we wouldn't know about the schoolyard prior to this. But she said there's a calmness. That's the effect that God has when people will go in and do what he just wants to do. We can't bring calmness, can we? We probably add to the madness if you hear us when we're playing Connect Four and the leaders are the ones that want to win more than the kids. Let them win. No! But well done, Liberty. Well done. All your giving, all your standing, all your prayer, everything is enabling you and us in different ways to reach into the community. And there's probably breakfast cafes waiting to start here. We've researched that there is cafes going on here, but there's other needs that you may know of and that we may know of. And we go, look, we can bless this community. We're going to love this place into the kingdom of God. We're going to love it. We're going to serve it into the kingdom of God. We're not just going to shout at them. We're going to love them, because actions are louder than words these days. So, Father, we thank you for your word and your work, and we bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're talking about radical obedience, and just before I go there, Sharon says to me, if I'm lifting up baby Daniel in a few minutes, I will be saying to him about the great big giveaway. Believe me, no one gets away without the great big giveaway. What is the great big giveaway? We endeavor, Liberty Church, endeavor to give out 1,000 hampers this Christmas to families. That's 1,000 families being helped this Christmas, to have a better Christmas, to have a more joyful Christmas. If we don't look, people think, oh, like, you know, such and such has a car, they don't need a hamper. Those who have cars probably need a hamper more than some that don't need cars. And those who are paying mortgages probably need a hamper more than people that actually have no mortgages. And we are trying to encompass the community in its wholeness, that there's the old poor and there's the new poor. And no one likes to be called poor in any way, but if, you know, I was told of families out in this area that are paying their mortgage 1 month and buying a small shop, and then next month not paying their mortgage and buying a big shop. That's in our community here. And we have the opportunity to bless. And you might think a small tin of peas or a tin of beans won't go a long way. Listen, if we bring them all in together, they go a long way. And families, and we helped 500 families last year in our locations. And we're going, we're just putting up the bar in God's. And if God doesn't come true, it won't be 500. It won't be anything, but God will come true. If you ask what we got now, not a whole lot. But we have people, we have resource, we have promises, we have tins of beans and peas and all that stuff. And God is opening more doors. So how can you help? You can take one of these letters. See, you don't really realize the resource you are. I met a drummer in a band, and he told me what he worked at. He worked in a chicken farm or something. I told him, this was 9 months ago. I says, we have the great big giveaway coming up. Will you be able to get me chickens? Not for free. I didn't ask him for free, but if you'll be able to get me chickens at a cheap rate. And he says, I'll try my best. And he's working on getting me 1,000 chickens free. He's a drummer in a band. Now, you might have a boss. You might have an office. You might have a friend. I was out here the other day with somebody, and he told me that their friend works in Musgraves. He says, give me a letter. I'll bring it to him in Musgraves and see, can they give anything? You know, and this is the way it works. It's not by someone giving 20,000 or 30,000. It works by us. We deem this as the community helping the community. This is not us helping them. This is us helping us. And so please take a letter. There's a fundraiser on the wall over there that's coming up in Ballyferma. That is a huge contributor to the great big giveaway. Please look at that. Buy a ticket. Bring someone along. It's all types of opportunities. And in fact, on this, these hampers, if a family went in to pay for them, we put in their hamper what would be in on our tables. So if it's not good enough for my table, it's not good enough for someone else's table. And if you've not been involved, has anyone been involved in the great big giveaway up to now? Guys, yous are in for a treat. We're going to have a big wrapping day. We have 1,000 boxes to wrap. We have good wrappers out in Bray. And we're going to have a family day. I was given a loan of a warehouse just around the corner from the city location. And we're going to go in there one Saturday. You'll have the dates in about 2 weeks' time. We'll be that Saturday. And we're going to have a bowl of soup each. And we're going to wrap 1,000 boxes together. And then another day, we're going to go in and pack them. And I'm telling you, when you see 1,000, I've seen 500 all packed with cellophane and big red bows on them last year. I just want to see 1,000 bags of potatoes. We got bags of potatoes, 5Ks. Of bags, you know, like 5 kilos, bags of potatoes, €1.25 each. They're €6 in Tesco's, and we've been giving them for this. I just want to see 1,000 together. I want to see 1,000 hampers. Don't miss it. Get the day off, whatever you need to do, and be involved in this, helping the whole city right now, because they'll be giving out in each location. Then on the day, the 18th, the 16th, them 3 days, one of them days, we'd be giving them out in Bray. We're locating their building. We don't want to do it from here. We want to do it within one of the communities, so that we're in the community helping the community. Yeah? Isn't that good? Okay. Let's take up another offering. Amen. This is you guys doing this. I'm just the one that keeps shouting about it. I want to pray again. What is obedience? I love the Serious Radical because it's so challenging. You know, every time I start this off, it's not about just being a Christian. I'm convinced at this stage that God doesn't want us to be called Christians. I think that's a word which I believe is a word that came from three sources in the scriptures that had nothing to do with us as believers. It was people using derogative terms about who the followers of Christ were. And the word Christian has got muddled up over centuries and centuries and centuries. We're known for what we're against as opposed to what we're for. You know, Matrice was in work, and she can correct me, not in front of everybody, after, if it's wrong, that someone says, are you Christians? You hate gay people. Do you know, it's an awful way to be just associated with hate. Well, we're talking about the God of love here. We're talking about people who, you know, Jesus says, I've come not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And somehow in Christian circles, and the word Christian has been muddled with condemnation, and you're at this, and you're doing that, and you're not living this way, and you're not living that way. And Jesus says, look, I haven't come to do this. If you want to be my disciple, you need to do what I do. He's the master, we're the followers. He says, I haven't come to condemn the world. I've come to so the world, bring life, body, mind, and soul. And then if we're going to be like him, if I'm finding myself living, sitting on a judgment seat of people, I've been in that muddled water of not being, like, just using higher ground and moral standards. And but when I'm in Jesus' mode and I'm living as a disciple, I can't do anything that he hasn't done, because he's a perfect example. Jesus is perfect theology, perfect example. He says, if you want to know what my dad is like, he says, look at me. So if you want to know what God the Father is like, you look at him. If you want to know how the Holy Spirit operates, you look at Father and Son, and the Holy Spirit is the exact representation of who they are in the Godhead. And so I use the word discipleship because I've tried to come up with other words like for it and whatever. No, look, let's just keep going with that. 256 times Jesus talks about discipleship. Paul, any of the letters written in the New Testament, in the epistles, he never addresses us as Christians. We're saints, we're the church, we're the people of God, but we're never ever called Christians. And I love this little crusade of, you know what I mean? Just, if not, let's win that word back. When we say we're Christians, you're a different type of Christian. Because all I've ever heard is condemnation in those circles. And that's the world's accusation against us, by the way. Gandhi says, look, I like your Jesus, I just don't like your Christians. Why? Because we weren't in sync. And if anything, I believe God is doing in the air today is bringing the body into alignment with the head. Jesus is the head, and we're the body. And sometimes the body is over here doing its own thing, and the head, Jesus, is here going, guys, come back into alignment. And if there's anything that Jesus is doing in the earth, he's calling his body into alignment. And then we'll see what we're supposed to see. People say, why are we not seeing this, this, that, and the other? It's because we're a headless body sometimes. That's why. But when we come into alignment, we will do what the head is doing. And obedience is one of the radical aspects of this. The general concept of obedience, both in the Old and New Testament, relates to hearing and hearkening to a higher authority. One of the Greek terms for obedience conveys the idea of positioning oneself under someone by submitting to their authority and command. Another Greek word means to obey means to trust. So it's not just about hearing and obeying commands like a robot. You're obeying out of a trust relationship with the one who's in authority given this. Holman's Illustrated Bible Dictionary says it like this, that obedience is simply to hear God's word and act accordingly. Erdman's Bible Dictionary says, true hearing or obedience involves a physical hearing that inspires the hearer and a belief or trust that in turn motivates the hearer to act in obedience with the speaker. Thanks very much, Jay. Let me say that again. True hearing or obedience involves the physical hearing that inspires. That's different than just taking an order, isn't it? That the hearing of God's word inspires us to want to do something, and it's based on a belief or a trust that in turn motivates the hearer to act in obedience with the speaker's desires. Obedience is not about just what is being said, but it's about who is saying it. Because if we can't trust in his character, we'll never act out in what he's doing. If we don't know his character, we will never carry out what he's doing. Because even when we don't understand, what we can understand is, I know who you are. I know who is asking me to do this. I know, Lord, that if you're asking me to do this, that it's for my benefit, if it's about me personally or my lifestyle personally, or if it's something that he wants us to do, I know your character, that this is going to bless somebody. This is going to change somebody. This is like even people in the New Testament, when Jesus says, get the water, when Mary says, bring the water to Jesus, just out of their act of obedience, they all were able to have a good time at the wedding. Just out of what? They didn't understand. They didn't know, but somehow Mary convinced them. So biblical obedience means simply to hear and to trust. Submit yourself to someone that you know is good and is always good. See, Jesus calls us to obedience. Listen to what John 14 says. Before that, let me just say, Jesus is the perfect model of obedience, and we follow him. He's the master, we're the followers. He's the example, we're the one that flows in his example. And his obedience to his Father was the perfect example of obedience, even unto death, the Bible says. He was obedient, even, Father, I trust you. That you will raise me up from the dead. I trust, Lord, when I'm nailed to a cross, when I'm carrying the sins of the world, that you will come true. Why? Because he trusted him who sent him. He trusted that when God, the God who sent me will not abandon me. Even when he felt abandoned, it was a trust relationship. And Jesus says this to us, our motivation for obedience has to be love. John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me. Now, we can read that with our mindset and go, I haven't obeyed Jesus. That means I don't love him. We can read into these things. That's what Jason, I believe, was getting at. That we think it's a big, oh, good night. Become a Christian. Lose your personality. Use this, lose this. You know, I heard a testimony. I used to be this, and I used to be that, and I used to go to these places, and I used to be with all these people, and then I became a Christian. It was like I was having a good time till you stepped in. You want it? That's not the way it is. We take it that way. We allow Christianity to be the driver. That's what it is. To become a Christian. And I remember when I became a Christian, I went up to my mom's house. My brothers ratted on me. I became a Christian. And she was like, you're not going to do this. And I was like, my goodness, this sounds like I'm missing out on something. But all the things I was doing was breaking me down as a person. I was like, give up what? The things that are robbing me of joy and peace and hope. And I said to my man, this is really who I'm supposed to be.
All that was fake. I was living to please people, putting on a persona, a voice, a walk, a talk. That's not who I was supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be shaped by my community. I'm not just supposed to be shaped alone by my background or by my social status. I'm like, that's not who I was meant to be. And this was only a first week of Christian. I didn't know any scriptures, didn't know anything, but I knew this, that what I felt on the inside, this was the real deal. This was who I was meant to be. And so here's the way I think Jesus wants us to read this. That our relationship is our motivation for obedience is my love for him. It's my love for my friend. You know, that if I obey him, not because he's going to beat me down if I don't. It's because I love him. I want to. It's not hard when you're in love with somebody. Imagine someone saying, you're going out with me. Well, I don't want to. You are. I'm not pointing at you, brother. I am, but like, I'm not asking you to go out or anything. No, you are going out with me. You will love me. We will meet at 7 o'clock in the morning and have a prayer meeting. Imagine that relationship. You will sit and tell me how great I am. That would be awful. What are you saying? That describes my relationship. No. That may describe some of our relationship that we might think God wants for us. You will do this, and there's no joy in doing it either, don't, by the way. I won't come and collect you in my car. You're going to get the bus without the umbrella to meet me. You're going to walk and it's like, there's nothing in this. What's this all about? Well, somehow that's the way Christianity can be portrayed. And there's sometimes you do have to grit your teeth and go, I'm just going to do it because God told me to. Because I trust him. Even though I don't fully understand and I have to get up in the morning and serve the kids their breakfast. I don't always like doing it. This morning's when I grit my teeth. After I eat me grits. I do it because I love him. I don't want to sin because I love him. I don't want to be disobedient because I love him. Not out of... My next door neighbor has become some type of dog whisperer overnight. And he has all these people coming to the estate in the little thing. And I love it. He's earning a living. Praise the Lord. But now he has like all these people coming. And he's like, he has Milo. And he's like, Milo. He doesn't even do anything. He has the dog so well trained. I'm walking him. He goes, watch this now. And he goes like that. If you can, he's holding his hand down like here. And he goes like that. And Milo starts barking. And he does this. And then Milo goes, like barks more. Unbelievable. He had him sitting in the middle of the road. He says, drive around him, Noel. He won't move. I'm driving right from Milo on a turn, and he wouldn't move. But Milo, if he doesn't obey, he's sternly talked to, and he's not given treats. He's been conditioned to obey, do you get me? He's been, if I don't, he won't. If I don't, he won't. And we have that type of understanding with God. I'm doing it out of fear. And there's no joy in that. There's no joy in just doing it out of God, if I don't, he's going to be on me case. Hell, the man whisperer will be shouting at me. Not like love language. Not treat me in any way with respect. Like Becky, we were driving out yesterday. My daughter Becky says, do you think them dogs are going to have a good time with them owners? Because it's all about command, command, command. I command you to go and have fun. He doesn't know how to have fun. They don't know how to have just jostling around the place. And Jesus says, look, when you read this stuff, it's like, I want you to do this obeying stuff out of love. It's a love language. It's a love relationship. Let this. So whenever God asks us to do something, it's out of love. We think it's sacrifice. We think, oh, this Christianity is all about pulling hard things behind us. And, oh, yeah, I gave that up for Jesus. And I gave that up. And it's like, there's no joy in it. It's like, there's nothing going on. And there's no joy in it. Say it. Because if you say it, you might be missing something. You might be missing the key. But we're just like, I'll just endure my relationship with God. Oh, man. Imagine in a relationship you have to endure. Imagine. Here's the old cranky God. Oh, I have to go to church again. Come on. We're missing something. If that's it, that's all right. That's just muddled up Christianity. So what we're trying to do is get us away from that stuff. And he loves us in return. And when we don't get it right, he loves us in return. And when we're not obedient, we know when we're not obedient because my relationship with God is disturbed when I'm not obedient. And he lets me know that. That's how much he loves me. That there's something not right now, but it's not on my end. It's on your end. You want to get it right? And as soon as we get it right, we're best buddies. But it's not like he's not my best buddy. It's that I know I'm disobedient, so therefore I stick away from my best buddy. Do you know if you do something on someone, you go, and then you do go to meet him, you go, I'll meet him in church because there's a gang of people. He won't attack me there. Do you get me? And you can have a relationship with God from afar. You can have a relationship with God where there's many people involved in the relationship. Oh, it's great when we're all singing together, but don't leave me on my own with him. That's not the way he operates. He loves. And everything he does is out of love. And even when he disciplines us, it's out of love. Just ask any kid that's disciplined for putting their hand near the fire. They never receive it as hatred. They never receive it as, I'm no good. Somehow there's an innate thing in them that know these are trying to protect me. Because they obey it in the end. As Reuben will find out when little Daniel's pulling all these CDs down. Yeah? When you know that he loves us, and we know he loves us, it's easier to say, yes, Lord, I'm doing this out of genuine love for you. Obedience brings joy. Jesus, looking into the future, when he was going to the cross, he said, the Bible says, for the joy set before him, he was even obedient unto death, as Romans says. What? That your obedience mightn't feel like joy right now because it's like I'm just trusting in who he is and I'm walking that out. But even Jesus, when he came and he was ridiculed and he was buried, Jesus went from being so popular to being wanting him dead. That's like kids right now who loves One Direction. Man, they're taking over the world. They're taking over our kids' minds. And every kid loves them. And it's like going from this height of fame to go, let's kill them, nail them to a cross. That's like Jesus went from that much popularity around the area to crucify him. And somehow in all of that, Jesus knew the joy that was set before him by being obedient to God. Psalm 18, it says that when he was coming out of the last supper, you know it says they sang the song of ascent when they were going to the Garden of Olives? They sang out of Psalm 18, and Psalm 18 is one of them lines in it. Is, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. What? He was being obedient to death, and they're going down singing the song of the ascent? This is the day. I don't know. Like, they probably sang it in the lament style. I don't know. But somehow in Jesus' heart, he knew that I'm going to have joy because of this obedience. And what's his joy and whose his joy is you and I. We're his joy. We're his delight. We're his inheritance. Because of obedience. Obedience brings heaven to earth. Acts 1:8, go and wait in Jerusalem. Jesus, we don't want to go. We're afraid of Jerusalem. Remember they murdered you and we followed you and we're associated with you. You tell us to go. Sometimes obedience is just the word sometimes God will give you is go. Go. And because I trust you, I'm going. Because I trust you know what you're doing, I'm going to step out into that. I might know the circumstance. I might know the next step. I might know what's involved. But I know who you are. And I know you're not going to send me into a place that is going to be detrimental and defaming to your name. So therefore, it's going to be good in some way. If not to me, it's going to be some to other people. I heard of a man in Australia, a follower. I keep trying to keep away in that Christian word that keeps coming out. A follower of Jesus. And he said he heard God speak to him. Go into a shop and stand on your head. You know, we go when we're in love with Jesus. You know, when you're in love, you go, Lord, you tell me to stand on my head, I do it. I don't know why you ever said that, but you ever say that? You know, you think of the weirdest thing that you could do. No, Andy? Okay. And this man hears him, and he goes into a shop, and he gets up beside a Coke machine and puts his hand on the ground. You know, like, not on his head, he was, like, on his hands, and he stood there. And the shopkeeper was looking at him as if he was crazy. And the shopkeeper comes over to him and goes, what are you doing? He says, I know this is going to be weird and it sounds wacky, but I'm a Christian. I believe God speaks and God told me to come in here and stand. The shopkeeper says, you're not going to believe this. I says to God, if you're real, this is what it would take, someone to come in here and stand on the hands in the corner of the head. He didn't know what was going on over here. He just trusted that the same voice on understanding or insight or inspiration, whatever which way, thought pattern, whatever which way we hear from God, He said, no, look, I believe this is God as much as anything else I've ever done is God. And here's what, how obedience works. And here's how obedience brings heaven to earth. The more you do it, the more you sound. See, it probably wasn't wacky to your man. He was like, no, I heard God say this before and someone got healed. I heard God say, tell them that they're loved, and they became a Christian. So he wasn't weird so much to him, but the act was weird. And the shopkeeper becomes a Christian. And Jesus says, go. And out of their obedience, they went. And he says, wait. And sometimes waiting in obedience is harder than anything else. I don't know what that noise was. I heard it too. Sometimes waiting is the greatest act of obedience we can do. Did everyone hear that noise? But the point is, there's no baby there. That's, we're all looking at the pram. And what happens is they receive the Holy Spirit. They said, go. Jesus said, go and wait. You go and wait and you will receive. And out of obedience of going, they received what God had for them. And not only did they receive, because when they received, do you know they go out and 3,000 people become believers? You know they go out and there's a man that's at the gate called Beautiful, and they lay hands on him and he gets healed. The heaven came to earth through their obedience. It wasn't a real hard obedience in some way. It was like just to go and wait. But heaven came down. There's a woman called Jackie Pullinger. I don't know whether you ever heard of her. 22 years of age. She wanted to be a missionary. She felt God called her to be a missionary. To go to Hong Kong. To go to a place called the Walled City. Small little area where drug dens and prostitution was the order of the day, run by triad gangs. Nobody would support her. Nobody would confirm she heard from God. None of the missionary societies. Nobody wanted to touch her. She gets, one minister says, if it's God, go for it. If you believe it's God, go for it. And she got enough money to get a one-way ticket to China. And she gets a boat. A slow boat, because she had only a few bob. She gets the lowest and the slowest boat to China. And she goes in. She was a teacher by qualification. She gets a job. And then she starts going into the Walled City, and she starts telling them about Jesus. And gang members start becoming Christians. She opened up a little club. You never know what's going to happen in a little club, Max, with teenagers. You just never know what's going to come out of it. What's important to God is our obedience to do it. Generations might be blessed. Listen, Abraham. He says to Abraham, get up and go. Now, Abraham was in a disposition because he was in Mesopotamia, and this place, they worshipped anything. And everything. They'd worship flames. They'd worship snakes. They'd worship elephants. They'd worship kebabs. They'd worship everything. And he hears a voice saying, leave this place and go. And somehow, listen, when God speaks, you know it. You know, people go, I never heard God. Listen, when he speaks, you'll know it. Just relax your slacks. You don't freak out. He's more interested in getting his voice to you. That's how much he loves us. And Abraham gets up and go. And I all got from that little thing. If we walk it out, God will work it out. If we walk it out, God will work it out. And it says, because, this is what Genesis says, because he was obedient to God, generations is going to be blessed. So he's like saying to the Haran, his father-in-law, let's go. He said, go where? He had no sense. He just walked out of where he was living. And God directed him. And he was blessed. He was blessed. But generation after generation, even down to you and I, are blessed as a result of him. That's what it says, he's the father of faith. You and I, you don't know your little part or big part. How many generations in your lineage will that bless? Or people that come to know God or experience God's love because of your obedience, what that brings, like to their kids and their kids and their kids, way on and way, because God is a generational God. He never just thinks one generation. I love this fact that I love roots. When I became a Christian, I felt there'd no roots anywhere because I wasn't anything before that. And Fergus Ryan one day says to me, no, your roots is in Jesus Christ. He's the Ancient of Days. My God, I have the longest roots. And then when I see my life and I see first generation Christian, then I see my kids coming to know the Lord. And now I see Penny in a position, my granddaughter, of being in a Christian household and going to come to know the Lord. She does know God in a way. Not in a salvation way, yeah, because she needs to confess him herself. But I'm like, generation. What's Penny's kids going to do for God? My kids have been missionaries already to a couple of places in the world. What's Penny going to do? And you say yes to God and you say, Lord, I've nothing. But yet God's blessing comes into your life. And now it's like propelled out of your life into our children's lives and into their children's lives. And who knows what they're going to do? And Jackie Punjo goes into China, goes into the walled city. She starts loving people, opening a little club in obedience to God. And hundreds and thousands of these young men and women, all teenagers, triad gang members, coming out of prostitution, coming out of heroin addiction, and opening up rehabs and blessing tens and tens of thousands of people. Billy Graham responded one day in obedience. Reinhard Bonnke, do you reckon he has led in the last 30 or 40 years, I forget how many years he's in ministry, he's led 8,000, the equivalent of 8,000 people a day into faith in Jesus Christ. When you, in one meeting, 600,000 people come to become Christians. One day he was obedient. One day he says, look, I don't know where this is going to end, but I'm taking this step. Countless of people all over the world that are doing things for God. People in open family homes, orphanages, rehabs, and families being blessed in generations because of obedience. You go, wow, that's big. Mags, generations are going to be blessed out of the youth clubs. It's not out there. It's in here. People are going to come to know the Lord out of barbecue and the food that you've got, girls. It's not out there, it's here. Your faithfulness of giving. And obedience to what God says in his word about giving. It will bless generations in this. Our blessing generations already. Just ask those who've come to know the Lord recently. In the last year. How your family been affected? Blessing. You're doing it. Billy Graham's is going to do it. Well, you and I are going to do it. Because it's the same. Obedience to God. Amen. Let me finish with this. God rewards obedience. It's just a matter of fact. We do it out of a love relationship. And he goes, now I'm going to bless you. Now I'm going to bless generations as a result of what you're going to do. It's 12:18 and I wanted to finish with praying with people. And giving you an opportunity to receive prayer. Because we're in obedience to God's word. Because the Bible says pray for one another. The Bible is when your obedience brings breath, blessing and joy, doesn't it? See obedience, like, and it's not obedience in the harsh word, but see obedience to worshiping brings everything. If I get this right, you'll be blessed. If I don't, I'm just making it up, right? So forgive me. You're going to say, what is he going to say now? Well, see that word to heal it that Patrice brought? It's a Greek word. And it just says, out of knowing who God is, and you start praying or singing to him out of that. So it's not per se constructive words in a song. But you sing out of that place of just adoration to God. The Bible says that's the praises he comes and inhabits. Now sometimes we think that's about words, but sometimes it can be just about sounds. That's why I love songs like that. Whoa, 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 whoa. I love songs like that. Because it's not about words, it's about sound. It's coming out from inside of you. And those sounds that, like when David would give a song to the musicians. If you read at the top of some of your psalms, it says, and give this to Masqueret, and he's to play it on the harp. Do you ever read some of that stuff? And then he goes, and he's in such and such, and he's the player, and they have to play this on the flute. And then he gives other names to it, like, this, I can't even say the words, I won't try, but I will bring them to you in a few times. Right? But one of them is, he says, like, so it's the equivalent of playing it in an O. So it's like, oh, and David says, I want the choir to sing this in a oh. I don't know whether it was that, but it was like something to do. Oh, but here in the Greek word oh, is what the word light begins with.
And when God says do a sound, it was like, it was, and especially if it was in syllables or in sounds like this, it had a meaning in God's world. And David's part was to get the musicians to be obedient to what God is saying, because he was the king leading them. Are you with me? So even when you see stuff like, you know, the laments in the Bible, and you see laments when people were in slavery in America, and you know the slaves in America, you remember they used to sing songs, and they'd sing old slave songs, but there was a lot of O's in it. Oh Lord. And that O was like, will you send your light into my dark place? The O was important. The sound of that was important to God. And just out of this place of obedience, and the O of God can be a lament. And it's like, oh Lord, save me. I'm in bits. But it's like, Lord, will you send your light to my bits of who I am, of where I'm at? And I love God reduces it down to things that we can all do. We mightn't all be signing up for the X Factor, but we can all, can't we? Yeah, you know what's coming, don't you? Let's stand. Worship team, will you please come back? The Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart and enter his courts with praise. And that word praise is the tehillah. It's the, I'm coming in singing my song to God. And it might be just, like I might just get out right now and lament of, oh God, save me. Or it might be an oh that is like David says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. It might be a rejoicing one where you're just like, you know what? Things are going swimmingly. And I'm not like lamenting, but I'm rejoicing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And the light of God and the joy of God and the peace of God descends, and the presence of God descends in those type of things. You might need something. And it might be, oh Lord, send him. I've been just letting sometimes in worship just sounds come out of me. Because there's times when you can't even put words on things. It can be a groan. Not a moan, a groan. It's like, Lord, I'm in so much pain, I don't even know how to say it. Or I've just so much love for him in my heart that I haven't got words to express this, Lord. And I just want to say, yay, God, I love you. And you might need something this day from God. You do need something, believe me. And I want us to sing this song through. If you could do that, oh, 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 one.